I would love our preacher, amen, in this meeting this week. It's one of my favorite meetings, and some of my favorite preachers of all time is here preaching this week, and I'm very, very grateful and honored to have the opportunity to be here. Let me, if I may, mention about the Bibles. Every Bible that we sell in the churches will help us provide either one to two Bibles free of charge to prisoners here in the United States and other English-speaking countries around the world. And we're grateful for all that the Lord has done with our New Testaments and the whole Bible. We have been able to produce and distribute a little over 1 million of them over the last several years, and to God be the glory. In fact, just recently, when I say recently, as of Saturday this week, we had the opportunity of conducting our first revival at the the Whitfield County Jail in Dalton, Georgia, and met the chaplain that we worked with, and he said, "Brother Ellis, let me tell you a story about a prisoner that was saved during that revival in December of last year." He said he got out of prison, and right after he was saved during that meeting, gave his life to the Lord, he requested that he get one of your study Bibles. He said, "I gave him one of them," said he wrote back, letting me know that he'd been studying the scriptures. He was growing in the grace and knowledge and wisdom of the Lord. He moved to Texas in order to get a job and to get reestablished. And he said, "I just got news a couple of days ago that while he was out walking, he got hit by a car that was speeding and went out to be of the Lord immediately." And so he'd gotten saved less than 3 months before he went home to be of the Lord. And he was studying from the scriptures and the Bible and growing in the grace and knowledge and wisdom of the Lord. The Bible that we have in the pulpit today is goatskin with calfskin lining. It is what we call the preacher's edition. It has six 3/8 inch ribbons for helping to mark all the passages of scripture. It's a little bit wider margin than some of the other texts. And these normally sell for $200. And we've got them marked down to $175 just for the meeting this week. All of the Bibles we have, we've been a markdown just for the conference this week. And then we have it in goatskin, calfskin, cowhide. Also, we have some imitation leather that holds up extremely well, better than the bonded leather. And then with that, we've got three different New Testaments, one for the correctional officer that's dedicated for correctional officers, another one that's for churches and colleges that have used several hundred thousand of these in the colleges and ministries. And then during COVID, we put together emergency responders, New Testaments dedicated to firemen, also those involved in the police academies and state troopers and so forth, as well as emergency medical personnel. Our missionaries stopped by the ministry and loaded their trucks, their vans, and their vehicles up with these Bibles and just hit the interstate, traveling and stopping at every police department they could find, every state trooper's office, and hospitals and so forth, and begin to distribute them. Through that, some of our missionaries were invited to the state capitol in Washington, D.C., where they were able to distribute and put an emergency responder's New Testament in the hand of every police officer at the Capitol Police. And God's opened an effectual door. We're getting ready to start a new project coming up in just about 2.5 years. There will be the 9/11 anniversary, the 25th anniversary, and we're putting together a special edition for that momentous occasion. And we'll have testimonies of some of the stewardess and some of the passengers on the planes that went down there in Pennsylvania, as well as the Pentagon and other places in some of the terrorist attacks. And it'll be dedicated strictly for that purpose. So join with us in prayer that God will open the doors for that. We have a team of missionaries that will be going to Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C., and then we'll make these available to the churches as well to have special days commemorating the 9/11 attacks on America. And so we do have some of the emergency responders' New Testaments. That's on the display. If you're interested in those, stop by. We'd be glad to help you. And we're close to the ministry's office. They're in Cleveland, Tennessee. And we can get as many of the Bibles and materials that you might be interested in. Let me mention one or two others very quickly, and we'll get into the scripture this morning. That is, we have the denominational history. This will give you a brief background to the various denominations that exist. And I'm glad that I can say this afternoon that Baptist is not Protestant. We never come out of the Protestant movement. We didn't have anything to protest. We had the right Bible, right doctrine, right Savior. And so we're not Protestant. We don't protest what we believe. Somebody say amen again right there. And so this will give you just a brief summary of how the denominations, where they come from. And Brother Fred Russell put this together for us. Did an outstanding job. It's condensed, and it'll be a great help and encouragement to you. These books are normally $8 a piece, and just for the meeting this week, we have marked them down to $6 a piece. We do take, of course, cash, credit, cards. If you've got one of those, we have a scanner. We can also put on the scanner if you want to charge it on a card. And check, if you make a check out, just put ROA, our bank will take those. And take advantage of the table. We've got a lot of material. Go online to roapm.org and we'll show you all the literature that's available. Again, I want to say that I'm very, very grateful for this meeting this week. I've always received great encouragement from the preaching and from the fellowship from God's people. If you have your Bible this morning, this afternoon, let's turn to the book of 2 Timothy, and we'll go to 2 Timothy in chapter number 1. 2 Timothy in chapter number 1. I believe we're living in perilous times, and Paul encouraged and admonished young Timothy concerning that very subject matter, in the day and age in which we live. I thank God that while many are falling by the wayside, there are those that are sticking, if I could put it in southern terms, there are those that are still sticking with the stuff. They've been faithful, and God is blessing, and I'm glad that old-time religion is not dead. And I'm glad God's still moving, God's still saving, and God's still moving among His church and His people. If you have your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter number 1, let's stand in reverence to the reading of the Scriptures. We'll begin reading in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality, to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in you, or in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom Phygellus and Hermogenes, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Chapter 2, verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Our fathers, we bow before you this afternoon. We love you and we thank you for the privilege to be here with your people. I thank you, our Father, for what you've already done in these meetings, and how that you've stirred hearts, and God, how that you have spoken to us personally. And Father, I pray that you'll help us as we stand to preach the word of God. May you give us your divine power, your presence, and may the persuasion of the Holy Ghost of God be in our midst. And ask now that you'll bless the message, use it for thy glory and honor, and give thy servant the touch of God upon his life. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. As Paul writes to young Timothy in this passage of Scripture, he is warning him of certain things that he will face in the gospel ministry. In fact, we'll take just a little bit of time and look at some of those things and highlight a couple of things in the book of 2 Timothy, beginning in chapter number 1, in verse number 3, he said, I thank God whom I am served for my forefathers with pure conscience. And so he speaks of having a clear conscience. He speaks in verse number 6 to stir up the gift of God that is in thee. Then in verse number 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Then we find that in verse number 8, in the latter part of the verse, he says, be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now, I'll not take time to go through all of this, but if you read through chapter 2 of and 3, 4, and so forth of 2 Timothy, you'll find that Paul is encouraging young Timothy concerning some of the battles and issues that he will face in his ministry. As we consider this matter, we find that Paul encourages Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier. In fact, there are four things in the book of 2 Timothy that Paul encourages young Timothy that he must endure in serving the Lord. And this morning I would like to look at these from a biblical perspective of Paul's writing to young Timothy. And I looked up the word endurance just to be sure that I had a clear understanding of what the subject matter was. In the context, he's dealing with the fact that we are to continue in the same state of mind without perishing. It means to remain or to abide. In other words, it means that when we face opposition, we face controversy, we face trials or troubles or tribulation, or we face challenges in our life, whether it's a preacher or a Christian, that we are to stand unbending, unbowing, and unbudging. We are to endure. In Psalm 9, in verse number 7, the Bible commands that the Lord shall endure forever. And because He is in us and we are in Him, we can endure as He endures. Secondly, it means to bear, to suffer without resistance or without yielding. I must be honest with you, I've been in the ministry now, I'm on my 46th year of preaching the gospel. The Lord began to deal with me about preaching just shortly after I was saved. And I've been a missionary for 38 years. And there are some things that I have had to endure during my tenure of ministry. And the Lord, by His grace, has allowed me to stand. But I must confess to you this morning that in order to follow the true definition of the word endurance, as found in our text, it means more than just to stand and to stand firm. It also means to stand with patience or to bear, watch this, without opposition or sinking under the pressure. So it's not a matter of just standing, enduring the persecution or the tribulation that comes our way. It is a matter of standing and enduring it without retaliation, without resistance, without opposition to that imposing force that is coming against us. And to endure, I normally don't find it too difficult. But to endure without opposition, without resistance, is where the struggle and the fight comes in. And so there are four things that the Apostle Paul tells young Timothy that he must endure in the ministry. And I believe it's applicable for every single Christian that sits under the sound of my voice this morning or this afternoon. Notice, if you would, the first thing that he commands that he endure. It's found in one of our text verses in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Yes. And so Paul says to young Timothy, there are times and seasons in your life where you're going to have hardness that comes in. There are going to be those block walls, those concrete walls that oppose you and stand in front of you. And Paul said, young Timothy, I want you to understand that you must stand and endure those hard times. And you must endure them as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And may I say to you this afternoon that one of the things that God, I believe, is causing you and I and commanding that you and I must endure is the hardness in the day and generation in which we live. Hardships are inevitable. In the world in which we live, we have tribulation according to John's Gospel, chapter number 16 and verse number 33. And trials and tribulations and hardships are just a part of life. You may wonder this morning and afternoon why hard times have befallen upon you. But I ask you this afternoon, why not have they fallen upon you? Why not have they fallen upon me?
That's right.
Are we better than Jesus himself? Are we better than the Apostle Paul? Are we better than young Timothy, the preacher and evangelist? Are we better than those that God sent out of the local church and the world missions and evangelization? Are we better than they? No. Therefore, stand, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We are commanded to stand and to endure hardness as a good soldier. There are various forms of hardship. There are physical afflictions. There are emotional distress. There is spiritual battles and persecution and opposition for the sake of Christ. And we are to endure these hardships for the sake of Christ. And then there are the characteristics of a good soldier. A good soldier is disciplined and obedient. He has gone through the training. And I've often said this to young preachers going into the ministry, and especially to young missionaries entering into deputation and raising their support and traveling the thousands of miles across the nation to get their support and to establish a ministry, whether it's church planting or whatever area of ministry that God has called you into. I thank God for colleges, and I thank God for the book learning and for the education. I thank God for professors, and I thank God for pastors, and I thank God for evangelists and missionaries that are experienced, or what we might classify as seasoned men of God.
Yes, sir.
There are men that will preach this week and that have preached that I would have given anything as a young preacher if I could have just sat under and listened to the wisdom in which they would impart.
Amen.
I believe they would have spared me many mistakes in my ministry over the years.
Yes.
And I thank God for their wisdom. But the truth of the matter is, through it all, there is a school in which God puts every one of his men through that no professor, no individual can prepare them for what God has in store for them, be it a pastor, evangelist, or a missionary. There is a particular school that God, in his divine providence, orders that every single man, every single Christian, I believe, that goes into this battle for the Lord, that he puts you through in order to prepare you for the battle that is ahead of you. There are things in our ministry that we've had to face today that I would have never dreamed in a million years that we would have ever had to face in the generation in which we live. You look at America, and just in the last 2 decades, the downfall and the degradation of our nation. There are things that we are facing in the ministry today and as Christians in our culture and generation that nothing could have ever prepared us for the battles that are ahead of us.
Amen.
A good soldier must have discipline and obedience. A good soldier adheres to the orders that he's been given, even in challenging times. And so Paul says to young Timothy, Timothy, I want you to endure a hardness as a good soldier.
Yes.
Without retaliating when the oppositions come. Obedience to God's word, endurance and perseverance, rigorous training and preparing for the battle, focus and determination in the work that God has set before us. We must keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews 12 and verse number 2. For he is the author and the finisher of our faith. We draw our strength from our commander, God himself, through prayer and dependence upon him. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, he reminds us to put on the whole armor of God. And I'm afraid that too many of us in our generation is entering the battlefield ill-equipped. In Isaiah 43:1-2, he says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Thank God for the redeeming power of the Savior who died
died on Calvary, shed his blood for my sin and my transgression, and saved me and set my feet on a solid rock and established all of my goings. Thank God for the redeeming power of his grace and his shed blood. But he said, I've called thee by name. I believe if you'll bend your ear toward heaven, you stretch it forth, you might hear him calling your name this afternoon. Amen. I've called thee by name. Thou art mine. I'm glad in spite of me being me and all my failures and all of my human flesh, I'm glad God says he still belongs to me. He says, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, they shall not burn, shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I'm glad that when I stand as a good soldier in the army of God, I can go through the flood, I can go through the fire, and I can know that my feet is established on a solid foundation because of him of this afternoon. Romans 8:38, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. A good soldier will end well. It might end in death. It might end in life, but it'll always end well. I was studying on Elijah and his battle and his challenge on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. The Bible very clearly gives the history of Jezebel and the persecution of the prophets and the many that they put to death during her reign and the reign of Ahab. There was a time when God said to Ahab and Jezebel, I've had enough. And Elijah challenges the prophet of Baal on Mount Carmel. And then you know the rest of the story, how that the 450 false prophets were put to death. And the others there, the prophets of the groves. And it came to me as I began to think about it. In the midst of all of that, in the long suffering of God, many of God's prophets were executed and put to their death. God allowed it. May I say to you, my friend, that while we are soldiers on the front line in the battle against sin and the devil and the world's culture and the immense baptism of the society in which we live, of sin is rampant on every hand, all the sin that abounds in our nation, but I thank God that where sin doth abound, the grace of God doth the more abound. And we can stand because of the grace of God. A good soldier always ends well. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, Paul said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, and I've kept the faith. And so we are commanded to endure hardness as a good soldier. Secondly, in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse 3 and 4, Paul says to young Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And while Paul is speaking to young Timothy and said the time will come when they of his generation and those of our generation, that they will not endure sound doctrine. In doing so, he is telling young Timothy, don't ever forsake sound doctrine. Amen. Endure sound doctrine. Yes. And we live in a generation and in a culture where truth is obscured. We live in a generation where there seems to be a new translation of the Bible on any given day. The Bible has been changed and imposed upon people that know not God, and it's been imposed as truth. Yeah. And yet we find that Paul says to young Timothy, don't fall for it, Timothy. Yeah. Endure sound doctrine. Now, I don't want to be critical today. God forbid, that's not my intent. I used to know on one hand preachers that have forsaken sound doctrine.
Yes.
But these days, God has not given me enough hands and feet to keep up with those that have departed from the truth and the faith. Our foundation lies in the unchanging Word of God.
Yep.
And it's built upon the Bible, God's divine book.
Yep.
And I like what the old preacher said, if God said it, I believe it. And I want to say to you, if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or says. The Bible is a divine authority. It is God's Word. Pastor quoted it last night, Psalm 119:89 is one of the first verses I ever learned as a newborn believer in Christ. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And I want to say to you today, I thank God that this Bible has nothing but sound doctrine. And we can believe it, we can heed it, we can abide by it, and we can put our foundation upon the Bible, the Word of God. To be sound means to be entire, to be unbroken, undecayed. And I'm glad we have a Bible that is undecayed. A Bible that still stands today as it did 2,000 years ago. A Bible that still stands today before God ever said, let there be light, and there was light. A Bible that goes back in the annals of time to the very existence of Almighty God. We have a Bible that gives us sound doctrine today. Why would I want to change something that is thousands of years old, yea, millions of years old, that goes back into the very beginning of the very beginning of God? You say, when was that, preacher? It doesn't exist, thank God. It's like God himself. It's always been. And thank God for the Bible. Hallelujah. We can found our established ministries, our families, and our faith on God's divine book. It is the sound doctrine of our generation. It is entire, it's unbroken, it's undecayed. It's unbroken, it's perfect, it's whole. It's unhurt, untarnished. And doctrine is the teachings of God. In Isaiah 28:9, he said, whom shall he make to understand doctrine? The Mormons have boasted for our decades that their number one converts are Baptists. I have an aunt that was raised in a Baptist church. She was a member of a Baptist church from a young teenager all the way up till she was in her mid or late 40s. And one day the Jehovah's Witness came knocking on her door. And she made the fatal mistake by inviting them into their home. It was just a matter of a few short months, she converted to being a Jehovah's Witness. After a while, her daughter was sucked into the vacuum of the Jehovah's Witness. And after a while, her husband, her daughter's husband was sucked into the vacuum. And now the children are sucked into the vacuum. And I have an uncle that claimed to be atheist. And then he went from being an atheist to an agnostic. And now he's just inquiring and inquisitive about the gospel. He's not saved yet. We've been working on him for years. And he said to me, he said, Terry, would you send me something on the Jehovah's Witness? He said, I don't know anything about the Bible, but by being around them, I know one thing. They do not have truth. And I said to him, one thing about it, you may not have any religion, but you know you have a little bit of discernment. And I had another uncle, they came to his door because my aunt and my cousin kind of, if I could put it this way, they sicked them on him. And my uncle, he's in heaven now, it's my Uncle Buck Ellis. And he was just one of those old time country boys out in Chatsworth, Georgia. And the Jehovah's Witness came up and knocked on the door, and my aunt and uncle are both in heaven now. And they said to my Aunt Ruth, we'd like to talk to you about the church. And she found out there's Jehovah's Witness. She said, my husband's out in the barn unhitching the mule, but I'm telling you, you don't want to go out there to him. Well, they didn't have any good common sense. So they went out to the barn where my Uncle Buck was unharnessing the mule. And they went around and told him he was Jehovah's Witness and so forth. And my Uncle Buck said to him, he said, now I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to give you until I get the harness off my old mule. And if you're not off of my property, I'm going to come around here and I'm going to stomp you in the ground. That's what he told him. And they kept proceeding to talk to him. My uncle Buck got the harness off the mule. He come around swinging it like a lasso, and they spun gravel everywhere getting off of his property. And he took a big piece of plywood and a piece and some red spray paint and painted it. I saw it. I got a picture somewhere, and it looked like it was something out of a horror movie. It was sprayed with red paint, dripping and running, and it said, "No Jehovah's are no drinking, no smoking, no cussing on my property, and absolutely no Jehovah's Witness." Am I telling the truth, Mrs. Ellis? You saw the sign. You say, "What do you think about your Uncle Buck?" I like him. Yeah. He's my hero. Yeah. Sound doctrine. Yeah. To stand on the Word of God. The Bible says in Titus 2 and 1 that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. And so the Bible says we are to wear the doctrines of Christ. We are to be so immersed in the doctrines of Christ, we know them like the back of our hand. And so I ask you this morning, if Pastor were to take and give a pen and paper out and ask you to write down the major doctrines of the Bible and give scriptural references and at least give a good, solid biblical foundation on what you believe and why you believe it, would you pass the test? Paul warns, instead of embracing falsehood, to stand for the truth, to stand on sound doctrine of the Bible. You say, "Preacher, what doctrines are you talking about?" You name them. Salvation by grace, plus nothing, minus nothing. Salvation by grace, eternal security. The premillennial reign of Christ. A 7-year tribulation, not a 3.5 with a mid-tribulation or a post-tribulation or a general rapture. To stand on the truth of the Bible in God's divine book. No hyper-Calvinism. The blood atonement for our sins and the sins of all humanity. God's requirement for ministry. Thank God, the doctrine of repentance.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Be sound in doctrine. And so he said, young Timothy, I command you, I warn you, that people in the last days shall not endure sound doctrine. So Timothy, you're going to have to endure it for them.
Yes, sir.
Without sound doctrine, we're susceptible to confusion and deception. No wonder many ministries today are in the shape they're in. It's through sound doctrine that we have discernment between truth and untruth. As believers, we're called to remain faithful to God's word, even when it contradicts popular opinion and cultural norms. I know some preachers this morning, I wouldn't dare call their names, that have shifted their Bible stance. They have shifted their doctrine.
Yes, sir.
They've gone toward Reformed theology,
yes,
replacement theology,
it,
Calvinism,
Amen.
And other doctrines that are unbiblical. And they've done it because of persecution, or at least pressure that has been put on them from their comrades that have transitioned in their ministry's position. I know of a preacher, he's in heaven now, but when I was a young preacher 40-something years ago, he pastored 6 churches in 1 year. The last church that he pastored, he told them they were only running around 20. He said, "Now, when you reach 100, I'll jump off the base of the steeple in front of the church." And it was kind of on a little bit of a hill with the retainer wall, and the asphalt went down a little bit below that. And so the next Sunday, they had over 100 people in the congregation. I think they might have been trying to get rid of the preacher. What do you think? True to form, he kept his word, jumped off the base of the steeple, crushed his feet, crushed his ankle, broke his hip, did all kind of damage, died with a limp as a result of that. Let me tell you something. God didn't call us to jump off of steeples. God called us to stand on sound doctrine and build our ministries, our homes, and our faith on the solid foundation of the Bible, God's eternal word. That same preacher, I wouldn't even be able to preach in his pulpit. I got notes today. He was one of them. I was in a service one time with him, and a preacher got up and he opened a notebook and he stood up. He said, "Oh, wait just a minute. What you got on that pulpit by that Bible?" He said, "That's my notes." He said, "No, bless God, there ain't no liberal preaching in my pulpit," and ran him out of the church. Endure sound doctrine. Then he tells them in 2 Timothy 4:5, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Yes. And so he tells them to endure hardness as a good soldier, to endure sound doctrine, and now he says to them to endure afflictions. And afflictions is that state of being afflicted. It's a state of pain or distress or grief or something that has affected us in our heart and our soul and our mind. It causes continued pain.
Yes, sir.
And so he said to young Timothy, "Timothy, there'll be times in the ministry when you will be afflicted for the sake of Christ. But Timothy, you must stand and endure without retaliation."
Yes.
Timothy, when you're stabbed in the back, when they talk about you behind your back, endure affliction.
Amen.
Timothy, when they lie about you, endure affliction. Timothy, when it seems like no one's for you, endure affliction.
Amen.
Paul said, "All forsook me, but the Lord stood with me."
Amen.
And so we find in Psalm 34 and verse number 19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." How we respond to our afflictions is crucial to our testimony and our spiritual well-being.
Amen.
There may be those sitting in the sound of my voice that has endured through certain things, but not an endurance without retaliation. Not an endurance that would not put out a force of determination to raise up fists and to fight against that which is coming against us.
Yes.
To endure affliction implies more than just a simply enduring or tolerating suffering. It speaks of a steadfast endurance rooted in faith and anchored in the hope of Christ. It mandates perseverance in the face of adversity, resilience in times of trials, and unwavering trust in God's sovereignty and His faithfulness. To endure afflictions, to endure hardness as a good soldier, to endure sound doctrine means we're going to stand in spite of all the adversity that rolls over and comes our way. And we're just going to stand and resist the winds that come against us, but we're going to do it without retaliation. And we're going to stand and let God get all the glory and all the honor when it's said and done.
Amen.
We must recognize that enduring afflictions is not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of spiritual maturity.
Yes.
In James 1:12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Our endurance in afflictions is evidence in our love for God and our commitment to do his will in spite of all of it. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he speaks of, "In weakness is the strength made perfect." God is our refuge. He's our strength, a very present help in trouble, according to Psalm 46 and verse number 1. In Galatians 6 and 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Then very briefly, there's a fourth thing that Paul tells him to endure. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 10. And Paul says to young Timothy, and it's almost as if Paul is thinking of all the things that he is commanding him to endure, and he just sort of sums it all up in verse number 10 of 2 Timothy in chapter number 2, and he says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." And Paul says, come to think about it, Timothy, you need to endure everything. There's nothing that you don't need to endure. There's nothing that you don't need to stand fast without opposition. Nothing. He said, Timothy, I've done it for the elect's sake.
Amen.
I've done it for the sake of the salvation of God's people. He declares that for the elect's sake, he's emphasizing the sacrificial commitment that he is willing to lay on the line his personal comforts. He's willing to lay on the line his personal ambitions. He's willing to lay on the line all things. In fact, in one passage he said, I count all things as dung that I may know him and the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
And so we find that Paul just simply says, Timothy, come to think of it, you just need to endure everything that comes in your life. We're called to put God above everything. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The Greeks had a race in the Olympic Games that was unique. The winner was not the runner who finished first. It was the runner who finished with his torch still lit. Preacher,
yes, sir.
I want to finish.
Amen.
By the grace of God, I'll do everything I can to come in first. But I want to tell you something. What I want to do is I want to cross the finish line, be it first or last, with my torch still lit. With my torch still lit. It's not who's first. It's not who's last. It's not who's in the middle. It's not who's second. It's not who's third. It's a matter of who crosses the finish line and hadn't become bitter and has endured all things and has finished their course with sound doctrine and has died a good soldier in God's army in his battle. And he's died with his torch still lit. When I cross the finish line,
yes, sir.
Yep.
I want my torch
Amen. Burning
bright. Now I'm going to set under the sound of my voice this morning as we get ready for an invitation quickly.
Yes.
I'm going to be setting under the sound of my voice this morning. You've been running your race.
Yes, sir.
But your torch is flickering.
Oh. Amen.
Maybe there's only smoldering ashes left. I wonder this morning if we wouldn't come to the altar and say, Lord, would you relight my torch?
Amen.
I want to finish my race.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Our fathers, we bow before you. I pray you'll take these few short, simple thoughts, use them for thy glory and for thy honor. Help us to endure sound doctrine. To endure hardness as a good soldier. To endure afflictions. Lord, in fact, help us to endure all things for thy sake. Lord, that others may look upon us that know not Christ and see the grace of God that's been bestowed upon us. If there's someone here today that's not saved, may the blessed Holy Ghost of God convict them. Show them their need for the Savior. If there's someone here today that's about to throw in the towel, to compromise on their doctrine, to compromise on their convictions and their standards, help them today, I pray, to endure hardness as a good soldier. In thy name we ask. As the piano plays, I wonder if we wouldn't come and say, Lord, would you please help us today? Help us that we'll endure our race, and that you'll get all the glory and all of the honor in our lives. Young men that are here under the sign of our voice that are preachers, there are going to be some things you have to endure. Young ladies, there'll be some things you're going to have to endure in life. Families, there's things we have to endure. There may be someone sitting on the sign of our voice this very morning. You've already spoke about possibly breaking up a home or a family and parting and going separate ways. God forbid, endure, stand.